This is The Difference, a podcast for nonprofit fundraising in a for-profit world, presented by Convergent Nonprofit Solutions, a leader in nonprofit fundraising. Convergent's professionals can help your nonprofit secure sustainable funding now and for the future.
Welcome to The Difference. Good to have you with us. Today, we're visiting with Sherry Ann Kelly. Sherry Ann is the CEO of the Association of Chamber of Commerce Executives. We're going to abbreviate it to ACCE. ACCE represents more than 10,000 chamber professionals. And under Sherry Ann's leadership, ACCE provides professional development, innovative problem solving, best practices for chamber organizations, and industry thought leadership. Before, Sherry Ann was Senior Vice President of the Public Affairs Council, a global organization, as well as Executive Director of their foundation. So welcome, Sherry Ann. Glad to have you with us.
Well, thank you. And thanks so much for having me, Jay.
So you just finished a month or so, maybe a little longer, with your annual conference called the Innovation Summit. And this, the importance of cause-based initiatives was discussed a few times at the summit. Are you seeing a trend in causes being the linchpin for fundraising for chambers around the country?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me start first by saying thank you, by the way, for being a sponsor of our Innovation Summit. The support that you all gave was critical in making that event happen. And when you can't meet in person, there's nothing like bringing 1,000 chamber execs together in cyberspace as a good alternative to learning from each other and really getting a chance to connect. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Yes. So I think cause-based fundraising and causes have become more of a critical component of what chambers of commerce are really focusing on. Obviously we saw chambers step up tremendously during the pandemic as well as through economic recovery. And the great work that everyone did through those periods, you kind of really created this chamber renaissance, which is a tremendous opportunity where chambers are being called on even more frequently to be thought partners, to be leaders in their community, to get engaged in issues and in discussions that historically chambers have never been a part of. So this sort of leads into, our most recent research at ACCE, which are the three pillars that are necessary for chambers to be successful far into the future. And the first pillar of that research is that the mission of the chamber really has to be a big community impact mission. And that can take lots of different forms. But one of the top issues, obviously, that chambers are dealing with right now is this idea of workforce and talent. And lots of different sort of causes and initiatives that can be leveraged under that umbrella of workforce and talent challenges locally are places that chambers have really been shining. We've seen some very creative ways to address the current talent shortage, whether it's upskilling or reskilling, talent attraction, talent retention, even just helping local businesses rethink the way that they create job descriptions to try to make sure they're not ruling people out before they even have a chance to get engaged in the recruitment process, offering benefits like flexible family leave. Chambers are just engaged in this workforce and talent topic in a big variety of ways. But some of the other community impact initiatives that we've seen chambers take the lead on are places like education, whether it's access to education for everybody within their community, or it might be aligning the curriculum within local educational institutions to make sure it aligns with what are the skills needed for local jobs. Public policy and advocacy, this is another place where community impact can really shine, and the work that chambers do in this area can be so fruitful. Whether it's advocating on behalf of issues that impact small businesses or making sure that the entrepreneurial ecosystem in their market is one that's really healthy and vibrant and allows for the creativity and the ability of entrepreneurs to be successful. I think there's also advocacy work that's being done in places like inclusive economic development and inclusive community growth. And these are areas that we hadn't seen a lot of chamber engagement maybe a decade prior, but now we're seeing chambers take the lead in some of these issues, and then in turn, finding ways to build programming, resources, and fundraise to support some of those issues. Obviously, DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, huge opportunities for chambers, for businesses, for communities, And there's an entire spectrum of engagement that you can get involved in when it comes to DEI. And chambers are getting, again, very creative in finding ways to work through issues within their own community, whether it's improving supplier diversity or helping to train local business managers on best practices for inclusive business and trying to make sure that they're approaching their business practices with inclusivity and equity at the sort of cornerstone of the work that they're doing. And chambers have even gotten involved in issues that were way outside of the scope of what you would think a chamber would do, things like mental health, because we know that mental health is an issue that shows up in the workplace. It affects the entire community, it affects our talent pool. So absolutely, I think the role of chambers has shifted, and this idea of causes and community impact are sort of at the core of places that chambers are making a huge difference.
How did the chamber as a whole become enlightened, or when did this happen? When did you start seeing this shift? What triggered it, in your opinion?
You know, it's a really good question. I think there are several factors that came into play. You know, one is that the world is changing so quickly, and we have to adapt as chambers of commerce. We can't keep doing the same things that we've always done. You know, the membership models and the resources that we provided 20 years ago just aren't going to satisfy the needs of our community and our members now. So this idea of remaining nimble and shifting and pivoting and really being focused on what are the greatest challenges within our communities, what are the greatest challenges that our members face, and finding ways to address those, I think that's become a real value proposition for chambers. And that's a really clear way to show return on investment. If you're solving the biggest challenges that communities, individuals, and businesses are facing, then you can really showcase the value that you bring to the table. I think one of the pieces that has been incredibly helpful for chambers is probably about 6 years ago, ACCE put out research called the Horizon Initiative, which were 9 major influences shaping the future of chambers. And I think having that research and being able to think critically and think a little bit more about the future and aligning some of our best practices and our strategic plans around that research really helped the chamber community think more broadly about the role that they can play and think more critically about the impact that they can have within their communities. So I think there were external factors that certainly played a role. I think that sort of exposure to some of that new research also played a role. And then as we're paying attention to the shifts and changes in our communities and around the world, the fact that chambers are taking courageous leadership and really stepping up and stepping in to take the lead on some of those unusual issues that they hadn't historically been involved in, I think all of that is sort of culminated in this chamber renaissance that we're in right now.
Because of this change, going to be, or has there already been more engagement from CEOs of businesses? I've been in the chamber space in fundraising now for 12, 13, 14 years. What trends are you seeing in engagement with your membership in terms of who's at the table?
Sure, that's a really tricky question. It's a great question, though. I think the answer is it's all over the spectrum. You know, some chambers where they have heavy engagement from CEOs, and that's usually when you have bright CEOs who are strategic, they get it. They get that leadership comes from the top, and that makes all the difference in the world. We also have the challenge that the role of a CEO is more difficult, has more time constraints, has more demands on it than ever. And so you also face the challenge of having to make decisions about where time gets plugged in. So sometimes in lieu of putting the CEO at the decision-making table, you know, with the Chamber of Commerce, they may deputize somebody else on their senior team. I think having somebody who really does have strategic insight into their own organization, making sure that person who's sitting at the table has that insight and has actual ability to affect change within their organization. Do they have decision-making authority? Those are some of the most important components of having, you know, a successful partnership between a business and a chamber of commerce. If you've got somebody who's just been assigned this task, they're here to take notes, bring back highlights of what happened, but not engage in the conversation, not affect real change, you're going to have a real challenge on your hands.
You mentioned your 3 pillars. I caught them as workforce, education, public policy. And it sounds to me like you're trying to make this more transformational in nature versus transactional. So what do you find as funding models that work with this type of transformational emphasis?
Sure. So some of those items that you just mentioned are components that could be, you know, a strong community impact related mission. So the three pillars of our research are that the mission of the chamber has that community impact focus. The second pillar is courageous leadership around that mission. And then the third pillar is business model alignment, which gets exactly at what you're mentioning now. This idea of moving from transformational to, you know, more into transformational, away from transactional. So it's less about selling one more ticket to a golf tournament, less about, you know, selling one more publication, and it's more about transforming the world around you, making your community stronger, better, and again, addressing those biggest challenges that you face. Absolutely, funding models are shifting. At ACCE, we've been tracking data on chambers for decades, and, you know, membership as an overall percentage of revenue is flattening or declining for almost all chambers. So we can't rely on those traditional membership models to fund growth and to fund some of these new initiatives. It's really all about diversifying our revenue streams. Some of the successes that we've seen in this area, 501c3 foundations are a great tool. You know, if you've set up your own foundation to be intentional and thoughtful and aligned with the work that you're doing within your chamber, it can be a huge opportunity to fundraise for some of that mission-based work that we're talking about. Fee-for-service is another creative sort of fundraising model that we've seen take shape in the past few years. That's kind of where you take your existing expertise on staff and you find a way to charge for it within the organization. I've also seen chambers get really creative with maximizing their net for major events. So instead of trying to put together five more small programs throughout the year, taking your biggest, most impactful programs, your biggest events, and finding ways to grow those so that you're really focusing on the major things and not getting bogged down in the small details and the weeds. Seasoned chambers get really creative with the use of their office space. Chambers that have created sort of WeWork style workshare environments or creating a really great technology space within their conference room and then renting that out to local organizations so they can host hybrid events. Obviously, capital campaigns are another great opportunity for mission-based fundraising. But we're also seeing chambers reimagine their membership models. You know, this old idea of a velvet rope where all of the benefits are hidden behind a curtain for just your members doesn't necessarily sell anymore. So people are looking for made-to-order memberships where they can get just the most critical information and resources that they want related to topics of interest. We're seeing a big increase in investor models where the more you invest within the chamber, the greater benefit that you get. Lots of chambers are finding ways to lower the barrier of entry for smaller members and smaller businesses, whether it's a very, very low cost entry fee or even free memberships with limited benefits, but free for very small organizations. Also seeing a la carte memberships, subscription models. It's just reimagining the business model to make sure that it aligns with your mission.
One thing that came to my mind as I travel around the country, it's important that we have several chambers in the community that are targeted towards a specific group.
Sure. So affinity chambers are very common, whether it's a Hispanic chamber, a local Black chamber, LGBTQ chamber, Asian American chambers with lots and lots of opportunities. Even veterans chambers are out there. I think there's a great role for affinity chambers within communities because they serve these very specific needs of very specific subsets of our constituents. And it doesn't mean that there is no alignment between a geographic chamber and an affinity chamber. What's great is that there's a lot of opportunity to partner, to work together. In fact, we've seen an increase in geographic chambers and affinity chambers working together on issues that have shared importance, shared value. There's just an extraordinary opportunity for making sure that, again, we're all working towards the same causes, which we are. You know, at the end of the day, all chambers are trying to make their communities stronger, make them better, make businesses stronger, allow for access to capital for those businesses, help them grow, help them attract and retain talent. So when the root causes are all the same, there's a great chance for us to find ways to build some programs, resources, and services in tandem. So for chambers that haven't worked with their local affinity chambers, it's a great opportunity to reach out, find out what they're working on, see if you can be helpful, see if there are places where you can partner and work together.
That is a great term. Thank you for sharing it. Affinity chambers, that is hits it right on the mark, because it does point out the uniqueness, and yet you stress how important it is to cooperate and collaborate to grow the community as a whole. So we're about 80% through the year 2021 as we record this. Are there specific programs or events that stand out to you as we come to the end of this calendar year?
What was really tremendous to see was that chambers had a laser focus during the pandemic. They were focused on the biggest needs and the biggest challenges for their members and for the greater community. And this helped chambers be incredibly successful and invaluable to all of their various stakeholders. They weren't just focused on their members alone, they were focused on the entire community. And I think that focus, that laser sharp focus, is going to help chambers as they move forward as well. I think it's really easy for us, and it's one of the biggest challenges we face as chambers, is that we want to be all things to all people. And so in lieu of focusing on our mission, we get really caught up in all of these side fringe projects, things that pull our staff time and our resources. And then it pulls us too thin. So it's hard to articulate our value proposition when we're doing too many things. So I think continuing that laser focus is going to be helpful. And when I think about the amazing things that were done, creativity just abounded through the pandemic. Chambers found very creative ways to funnel grants to small businesses. Again, they were finding unique needs that weren't being met in the community and found ways to meet them. Whether it was creating, minority business accelerators within their community or amping up the local entrepreneurial ecosystem to make it a more hospitable environment for entrepreneurs to really get things launched. But also we've seen some very unusual collaborations with what I would call uncommon partners, bringing voices to the table to discuss challenges and opportunities and talk about a vision for the future of your community. I love the creative partnerships and unusual partnerships that have been forged. It might be a partnership with the local urban league or a local arts council or even religious institutions or unions. These unusual partnerships bring new voices to the table and you can get a broader, more holistic view of what your community's needs are. So a couple of examples of really unusual partnerships. In Raleigh, the chamber partnered with NAACP, their local government and their county government, and they came up with a program called A Better Wake. And this is where they're really looking to dismantle some of those systemic issues that kind of bar people from being included in their local community. It's looking at issues of equity and saying, we don't know what the solutions are, but let's all come to the table, talk about the challenges and work together to try to make it better. Sort of an interesting, unusual partnership aimed at solving a huge challenge. And then another interesting example from Kansas. So the Kansas State Chamber, their local metro chamber, as well as a local chamber, all partnered with the Kansas Department of Corrections. And they built a training facility on the grounds of a correctional facility to train incarcerated individuals on some of the main skills that are needed for local jobs. So this is totally rethinking a talent challenge when we're looking for workforce that are trained up in areas that we need. People who've been incarcerated are leaving their prison system and not being able to get into a job because they don't have the skills and they don't have the experience. But by putting this training facility right there where these individuals are day in and day out and training them, they now leave ready to join the workforce. So it's reimagining what a chamber can do. It's reimagining how we solve some of the most pressing problems that we face.
2022 is a political year, not a presidential election, but a lot of congressional races and so forth, both state and national. How does a chamber best negotiate in what are probably the most contentious political times that we've seen in decades? Maybe not since 1876, honestly, and the great Reconstruction era for this country.
Oh, such a good question. So, when I talked about our Horizon initiative that came out several years ago, there were a couple of pieces of that research that really point to where we are today. So even if you think back 6 years ago, the fact that we were predicting we would be here is sort of remarkable. One of the nine influences was this idea of incredible partisanship, where we've got this us versus them mentality, right? Everybody's screaming, everybody wants to get heard, nobody's listening to each other. That gives a huge opportunity for chambers of commerce to be sort of the sane center, to really bring all of those competing voices to the table, to start to listen to one another and to work together towards solutions. We are by nature conveners. It's part of our leadership role. When I talk about courageous leadership, we can be conveners, we can be consensus builders, we can be catalytic leaders, but that first step is oftentimes bringing everybody to the table so that we can all talk about where we are, where we want to go, and what are some options to get there. Even though these are wild times and they're incredibly challenging, I think, again, the courageous leadership to bring those voices to the table is a place where chambers can absolutely take a stand and play a role. I think when you talk about advocacy, public policy, politics, if a chamber isn't engaging in this area, they're really missing out on the ability to have impact, because government has an influence on everything that we do, all of our businesses, all of our community impact issues. Government plays a huge role in that. And we have a voice that needs to be shared so that government isn't making decisions that have unintended consequences. Because that's what happens, is we end up spending so much of our time cleaning up unintended consequences. Whereas if we'd proactively been engaged in the discussion from the beginning, we could have mitigated some of that. So whether you're serving as a trusted source of data for policymakers and decision makers, or you're in there advocating on behalf of the issues that are most important to your community, I think policy and advocacy are a core responsibility for chambers of commerce of all sizes. Whether you're a one-person chamber in a small rural town, or you're a metro chamber that's serving a huge population, I just don't think I can understate the importance of policy and advocacy.
Throughout our conversation, Sherri-Ann, you've made several compelling points that would say to somebody, I should get engaged with my local chamber. If we can do all of these things. So as a parting comment, give us your 1 minute, here's why you should be a member of your local chamber.
Well, obviously, chambers of commerce are changing the world. They are making their communities stronger. They're making their businesses stronger. They're making the environment better. It's all about trying to make our communities the best place possible for attracting and retaining individual citizens who are a part of what we're doing, and making sure that we've got programs and services and resources that make those communities thrive in the long term. So if you're really looking to advance your own organization, if you're looking to be involved in a critical and thoughtful way in your community, there's no better partner than your local chamber of commerce. They're connected, they're conveners, they're leaders, and they're going to be the ones who are driving the agenda moving forward for your region. So that's my sort of quick elevator pitch.
What an engaging and informative conversation today with Sherri-Ann Kelly. Sherri-Ann is the CEO of the Association of Chamber of Commerce Executives, ACCE. We thank you for being with us, Sherri-Ann. And I want to encourage our listeners to revisit this conversation. It's on our website, convergentnonprofit.com. Click on the resources tab and you'll be led to our series of podcasts. Thanks for listening.